The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, are we all going to be big winners when it comes to energy prices? Because as you may have heard this morning, energy price cuts are supposed to be on the way. It sounds like good news, but yet Ireland's energy prices remain some of the highest in Europe. The wholesale cost of electricity now is €86.64 per megawatt hour. Okay, so that's a megawatt burning for an hour. It's a million watts burning for an hour, or if you like, it's a thousand thousands burning for an hour, which is a thousand one-bar electric fires burning for an hour, and that'll cost you €86.64. Now, it's a fall of 78% since the peak of 2022. But listen, if we're nearly €87 per megawatt hour, how much do they charge in other places? Wholesale in Spain, €20. Belgium, €61 high, but far lower than us. Germany, €64. Netherlands, €63. So we are wondering, why are our prices so high despite the cuts which have been continuing? Now, joining us now is Aoife Foley, Chair in Net Zero Infrastructure at the University of Manchester. Aoife, good morning.
Good morning. How are you, Pat?
I'm very well, but I'm trying to figure out this conundrum, why we are so high in a falling energy wholesale market.
I suppose, look, the Spanish market is very different in that their gas is heavily subsidised. So that's the first thing. And that will affect them elsewhere with their national debt. So that's the context of Spain.
So in we just discount Spain because it's an outlier.
Yeah. It's an outlier. And then beside it, Italy gets its gas from somewhere else. So that's the next thing. A lot of gas from North Africa. Austria is as expensive as ourselves. Portugal is as expensive as ourselves in gas terms. And Lithuania and Latvia. Another item you must remember now is that at the moment, there's this fund in the EU, the Temporary Crisis and Transition Framework. Lagarde came out of the ECB, Christine Lagarde, there a number of months ago, it was in October. They want that put to bed next year because it the Netherlands is the same, and their prices, actually energy prices, have gone up more than ours, 700% actually, because they pull their subsidy schemes and they change the way they run their supports. So that's why the prices are very different. Plus the fact then we're at the edge of Europe. We are limited gas interconnection. We still, even though we've lots of wind in the system, which is a credit to how we've developed our wind power onshore in Ireland, we're in a very different situation in that our average price that's set for capacity payments and our auction price wholesale is still higher because we're such a smaller demand and we have less interconnectivity. And even if we did have the interconnectivity, what we're seeing in existing markets like France and Germany, Uniper's been bailed out. They have an energy crisis there themselves with EDF in France. There's a nuclear issue, so they have a challenge there. So even when there's lots of renewables on their system and they have negative prices, that also affects then the market in their countries because the money has to be paid somewhere. Mm. And we're just in a sort of a pinch point with markets at the moment. And people, you know, if you look and you go into the, to buy petrol or diesel, all those prices over the last, they continuously increase. Inflation, interest rates, everything that people, that's all the risk at the moment. And that's what's happening in energy markets, plus the Ukrainian situation and now the Middle East. And then the cost of living, all of that feeds into it.
So how low are prices compared to the peak?
So I suppose they're still twice. So at the moment, if we look at retail electricity prices, the average in Ireland, so the price in Ireland at the moment, average price would be about 35, 36, 37 cents a kilowatt hour. In the EU, the average price, and Europe, I'd say Europe as a wide, it's 30 odd. So it's not a significant difference. And that's ex-VAT and all of those. And gas then in the EU is about 11 cent and it's 11 and a half maybe cent retail a kilowatt hour. That's March 2024, January 2024, and 16 cent a kilowatt hour in Ireland. But you must remember, we're at the end of a pipeline, we're a small demand, and that has to be factored in. And then, of course, you know, because of our interconnectivity, but we must remember in another few years, if we don't reduce our carbon emissions, we will pay more in carbon emissions in charges back to the EU for the emissions.
Okay, but
so
we are working.
It's very important we decarbonise our energy system.
And we're doing a hell of a lot. I mean, there will be significant offshore wind, we're told, although only one project, I think, on the West Coast has got the go-ahead in the Galway area. And we have, obviously, wind in the Irish Sea. But even if I do the simple mathematics here, if it's our retail price is 300, is 35 cent a kilowatt hour, that actually gives you €350 per megawatt hour.
Yeah.
And that is, what, four times plus the wholesale price. So somebody's coining it somewhere. I mean, if you can buy it at 87 and you're selling on at 350, somebody's making a hell of a lot of money.
Well, Pat, you know, you've hit the nail on the head there. And like the CRU went off and did a report and they announced that there was nobody making skin on the teeth, but it's just the risk and the shortage in the market. And I suppose another thing I'd like to flag up.
No, but I mean, hang on, it doesn't matter what the external factors are, because they all figure,
they all
go into the wholesale price. So all
but
the risk and everything is built into that.
I'm telling you what the CRU said. I'm telling you this.
So you don't,
no gap,
you don't believe the CRU?
Well, do you know what now? You know, turkeys fly for Christmas. That's my motto. But like, I mean, So sometimes I'm a bit dubious of what people say in certain situations. I'd like to see more detail on that kind of analysis. The thing is, as well, the market, even though there's people coming in and they're reducing and, you know, some of these new players come in and they're gone. And this, we've seen that in the UK and I've seen that myself in the UK. And I have to explain to people, I live in Cork, I work in the UK. So I'm paying the same bills as everybody else. And, you know, in terms of the subsidies and what's available and the support mechanisms and what the government is doing, they're doing their best. But people must remember now what's going to happen next year. And what kind of weather scenarios are we going to have next year? And these
are you saying that these companies who are coining it, I mean, buying at 87 and selling at 350, that's coining it in any person's language. But are they putting reserves aside to cope for the rainy day? I don't think so.
See, this is the thing, the retail side of the market, and that's what I always say, and I've explained to people before, the way the market is set up at the moment and the way it's set up in most European countries is the wholesale determines and dictates what happens in the retail. So it's a situation where the tail wags the dog. I'd feel more comfortable if the dog was wagging the tail. And if you look at Octopus Energy in the UK and the way they're doing their market analysis and moving forward, I think that's a more interesting scenario. The other challenges as well is, you know, in the UK, it's Cadent. In Ireland, it's Gas Networks Ireland. There's sunken costs there already with pension pots and ESB is the same. And they would like us to invest in heavy transmission. And then the issue with existing gas networks is in the future, they may be a stranded asset, although they would have you believe that we will inject hydrogen into them. And then we'll have offshore wind. So, you know, gas is localised. Our energy is localised demand. It's not offshore. Hydrogen is an expensive proposition because the engineering regulatory framework and all the risk associated with it is 10, 15 years down the track. It's like electric vehicles. A lot of the stuff I was talking about in 2011 still hasn't happened because there's no business case. So when I was at the Insider Agri conference in Portlaoise last week and I was speaking there, and still the mood music amongst some of the big generating companies is that, you know, biogas and biomethane should be delivered at scale by them. And they are former semi-states and they are expensive. They're expensive for a reason. And yet we want farmers to diversify and we want to cull the national herd. But yet we're offering them nothing and there's no solution. And then you have two departments dealing with it, agriculture and, you know, Department of Energy and Climate Change. And it's quite difficult for people to sort of make a business case. So we have to look at what can we do indigenously in Ireland, and that would be generate our own biomethane. But we haven't because there's no stack up for it. But there has been in other countries because they've facilitated and supported mechanisms. Even simple things. If I'm a farmer and I put up solar panels and I change how much and the way I run my land, certain inheritance changes kick in. And certain, there's difference in tax regimes. So there's simple things, simple low-hanging fruit that can be done for people to diversify. And this could and all feed way, into localised generation and cheaper transmission and distribution costs.
But as far as standing charges also, as far as I know, if they put in solar panels and a windmill on the farm, they don't get credit for it against the carbon production on the farm, which is crazy.
No. It's crazy, yeah. So there's a whole load of things like that that need to be addressed. But there seems to be no impetus there to do it. And we seem to be going around in circles with the same things over and over again.
Now, we're told that we're going to have to pay more per unit of electricity to pay for the expansion of the grid to make sure we can get all the wind in that we need and so on and so forth. But one of my listeners, Rita, says from Lucan, she says, energy costs, apart from the kilowatt hour costs, the energy companies are coining it from standing charges alone, €50, including VAT, without turning the light on. I would have thought the standing charges are paying for the infrastructure. That's what they should be at. There's no other function. And okay, for reading the meter as well, where that's still going on, where it's not automated.
Exactly. And Pat, can I say something just as well? People don't seem to realise as well, there's different standing charges depending on whether you are a rural dweller or a suburban dweller or an urban dweller. And then, of course, everything, and I keep on saying this, and I said it as well last week, much as I love Dublin people and I love Jack Keane's and I lived in Dublin for years, all roads lead to Dublin. So we went from sort of trying to have decentralised government, where now we're going to have a water problem, an energy problem, a fibre optic network problem, road congestion problems, and we have to dig up roads to put in new cables. And yet we have, you know, we've land available in Cork, in Dublin, in Belfast, and some of the numbers that are sort of thrown about, I think really, you know, the challenge really for us is, if we don't want to invest in getting all energy, everything to Dublin, there's another airport in Shannon, there's another in Cork, there's other airports around the country. You know, our rail infrastructure is key. All of these things need to be looked at. And I don't think they are currently being looked at. Everything is siloed, really, in essence.
Aoife Foley, Chair in Net Zero Infrastructure at the University of Manchester. Thank you very much for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.